All right, welcome back. We're into hour number two. Good day, good energy. Having a heck of a time. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. So now we go back to back to back to back. If I'm doing that right smack dab in the midst of Smack Off Week, you know it's for good reason. This next guest has an amazing story. Many of you know it, but some of you do not. He is a left tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles, second highest PFF offensive grade among left tackles last season, second in run blocking grade, and fourth in pass blocking grade. That kind of a year. He signed a four-year extension last season. He is a former Rugger, a former rugby player. He was the 233rd pick back in 2018. Philadelphia is going to open up at Detroit September 11th. Jordan Mailata is my guest. Jordan, it is great to have you on. How are you?
Jim, thanks for that amazing intro, mate. Thanks.
My man, you have a great story, and I've been really looking forward to talking to you, so it's great to have you on. Let me ask you this. It was not that long ago that you had never played in an organized football game, and now you are regarded as one of the best tackles in the league. You're going on reality shows. You are absolutely beloved in Philadelphia. I mean, how much has your life changed in the last few years?
And it's day and night, mate. It's day and night. It's an amazing opportunity that the Eagles gave me, and I'm just trying to pay it back, pay it forward, and just live my best life.
All right, so folks understand this, Jordan. You had two older brothers. Well, let me back it up even further. So people understand how incredible it is. If you go back, yeah. You grew up in Bankstown outside of Sydney, Australia, as the fourth of five kids. What was life like for you growing up?
I come from a very humbling family. We didn't have much, but we had each other, and that was always enough. And my parents did a great job raising the five of us, four boys, one girl, sister being the eldest, and sister did a good job raising us too when mom and dad were at work. And so we were always very competitive growing up. We played every time except for football. If you can imagine, four boys under one roof, a lot of competitions, a lot of wrestling, a lot of fights. So, yeah, it was good.
You had four guys under one roof, and everybody was physical and competitive, and you guys did everything except football. So you had two older brothers who played rugby, and then when you started to play, legend has it, Jordan, that opposing teams demanded to see your birth certificate because they thought that you were an adult. What were your early days in rugby like?
That's true. That's true. Coming up in the ranks, when I was like 13, 14, 15, a lot of teams would be like, because we play age divisions down there in Australia. So, 13s play against 13-year-olds, 14s, and so on. So, a couple of teams would always ask to see the birth certificate just because I was a man mountain among kids. But those are good times. Those are good memories.
So for people listening, of course, because you were a man amongst kids, but for people listening who are not familiar with rugby, what position did you play and what was that like? Like, how different is that from what you do now as an offensive lineman?
So I played prop, basically. You play both sides of the ball in rugby. Every position plays both sides of the ball, offense and defense. Props usually just clear the ruck, or you run the ball a lot. Run the ball a lot, and you have to do a lot because most teams attack the middle. It's some gruesome work to make the transition from rugby to football, because nothing correlates or translates over to this sport. And it's extremely difficult at first learning football. But now I'm not doing too bad right now.
No, you're not doing too badly at all right now. I want to get into that process in a minute, but one more thought. At 17, you earned a spot on the practice roster of the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, but the story goes you collapsed during training and you were diagnosed with a heart condition that required a couple of different procedures. How scary was that? And at that point, what were your thoughts about your athletic career? Did you think maybe it's not meant to be?
It was a scary moment. But I'm always an upbeat. I was always an upbeat kid. So when it happened, I was kind of just like, didn't really understand what was going on. So I was just in high spirits. But once I went through the two procedures, it was kind of like, oh wow, doctors are telling me I might not be able to play sport again. So I didn't listen to them and joined a rugby team like a year and a half after surgery or the procedures, and just started playing again to see where my fitness was at. So yeah, kind of rocked me for a little bit. But like I said, I've always been an upbeat kid and always seen the positive in dark situations. So yeah, not that bad.
No, so you stay in the fight, you keep playing, and then along the way, people in the NFL start to see footage of you playing rugby, and then you come to the U.S. and you start working out at the IMG Academy in Florida. People who were there have got so many stories about you, the fact that you were always upbeat and warm and friendly, and that you're one of the most amazing athletes they had ever seen, but you didn't know anything about football at all, right? So what were the first few weeks like?
It was gruesome. The NFL ran this program down at IMG in Florida, and basically they choose international prospects that they want to turn into football players so they can bridge that connection in their respective countries. And so I was selected from Australia, and the first couple of weeks was pretty regimented. They were trying to style the days just like a NFL day, like what you would do in a normal season. So it was pretty long days at first, and I thought these people were crazy because I just had never been through, like 12-hour days where it's just football. And, once we got used to it, once you started to get used to the process, the routine, you kind of just felt, like ABCs, it just got normal. The more repetitions that we did just became normal.
Hey, Jordan, let me ask you this. Paul Dunn was coaching the offensive lineman at IMG. He told The Athletic that you were always putting in extra time, even on Fridays. He said, quote, it would be 4:35 o'clock. Well, my wife and I have a standing date on Fridays. I'd say, I'm done with you, and start walking off the field. And he'd say, you cannot quit on me. He'd come running after me, tackle me, and say, Dunny, this is my life. You can't quit on me. You said that. Is that how that went? I mean, did you have a plan B, or did you kind of like burn the boats and say, there's no turning back? I'm all in. It's this or nothing else.
Yeah, I didn't really have a plan B. Of course, rugby would always be there if this opportunity didn't work out. But when I left Australia, I put all my eggs in one basket, and I really gave it my all. I wanted this to work out. I wanted to succeed and prove to myself and my family that I can do, I can do anything that I put my mind to. So.
That's exactly what you did. So I'm going to skip over a few things, but in 2018, Philadelphia moves up. They draft you. What do you remember about being selected by the Eagles?
I remember getting an invite by NFL Films to attend the draft. And I was kind of just like, yeah, just soak up, the experience. I didn't expect to get drafted. So it was kind of just going with the flow. Was able to have one of the other boys that we became best mates out of the program. He played rugby too. They put him at tight end, and he came with me to draft day. And so went there on the third day, and I didn't have any expectations of getting drafted. Got a couple calls from teams trying to sign me to the undrafted. Sign me as an undrafted free agent. So I was like, okay. Cool, but I just want to go through this whole process, even if I'm the last pick. Just didn't really expect it. And then sure enough, I got a couple of phone calls, towards the end of round six and the start of round seven. And I'm thinking, oh, mate, maybe this is it. And yeah, sure enough, when I least expect it, I'm laying down on the couch. I think there's film of it somewhere on the interweb. You can find it. But I'm laying there on the couch, and my agent comes over and is like, Philly's about to call you. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Sure enough, they call. And that feeling of, listening to the GM and the coaches say, they're going to pick you, they're going to draft you, it's surreal. And it just hit me. I felt like, all the hard work that I'd done, putting all my eggs in the basket and just, giving it all I had, kind of paid off. For the moment.
Such a great story. And for the moment. So clearly you had work still ahead of you, but such a great story. I mean, bottom line, this, like you told The Athletic, quote, if you look back at how I got here, you're like, bleep. How the bleep? Pardon my language. How did he get here? I mean, so how would you answer that? When you look back on your journey, how would you explain all this?
I think just trusting in the process. And my offensive line coach, Coach Stout, does a great job of, drilling that into our heads of trusting in the process and being where your feet are at and just making sure that you're executing the minor details right. And I think that's how I got here. When I look back, just taking care of the little things, and the big things to take care of themselves.
Not just got here, but as I mentioned, the second highest PFF offensive grade among left tackles in last season. Not just got here, but dominating now that he is here. Jordan Mailata of the Eagles joining us. They open up the season against Detroit September 11th. Jordan, my man, great story. I know you're in demand, but it's great to have you on the show. Really appreciate you. Great talking to you.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me, brother.
You got it, my man. Well done. Such an amazing story. And he is beloved, beloved in Philly. All right, really quickly, some reaction to the OG segment, to our number one. At Wooden Laconic, props to you, Jim, for repping the old school clones. Those calls are timeless. The show was a lot different in those days, but in a good way. Long live the jungle, wore the old school clones. Two quick thoughts on that. The show was very different back in the day because the world was very different back in the day. You can say, yeah, but the show was so much better back then. That'd be like me saying, yeah, well, the world was so much better back then. And you might be right on both counts. But we're dealing with the way things are, not the way things used to be. But I will agree, those calls are so good. The best calls not only stand the test of time, but they're almost as good as anything that you hear today. That's how good. And I know that the jungle being what the jungle is wouldn't be without those callers. The callers back in that day. That's why I throw back to them. And that's why I say you're welcome to just show up day of, because we wouldn't have number 28 if not for the participation of you in Smack Off 2 or Smack Off 5 or Smack Off 8. They're that good and that important. Van Sizzle. Wow. Great to see Otis get an invite to the Smack Off. We like his chances. Signed, the 10th seed in the NBA playoffs, the Edmonton Oilers, and Alvin's condom drawer. Andy from Denver. You got to kind of know what it represents. I know that I've said, I don't want to be a hypocrite, I know I've said that you're not in it unless you have a chance to win it. He probably doesn't. Although he could shock the world. 80-1ers have won before. It's more of a tip of a hat to the guy and to the time and to the OGs and the fact that he worked his way back in. I respect and appreciate that. Look at Liz. Alvy, Liz in Fall City. Haven't seen that in a bit. What's up, Liz? Where you been?
Who was the myopic panel voting on this award? Were they drunk or only handed blurry pictures of Blake? The guy is a fat Ewok disguised as a country hick who allegedly has talent. And with this guy being the sexiest man alive, I seriously fear that clones like Bodie and Pearland are going to feel like they have hope in the looks department.
Oh, Liz, that was her moment. That was her 15 minutes right there, that call. She writes, Jim and Fall River's donkey will always be greater than Apollo's dog. Yeah, but that donkey's better than almost anything. I got a feeling that dog's going to have a little something for all of you haters on Friday. I could be wrong. At TDT216 tweets, if there truly is a God, Terrence and Sierra Madre will rise up and call in on Friday. Hashtag smack off. I don't think that he will, but I'm here to tell you this guy was so far ahead of his game. It is a miracle that he never won. I mean, he was pound for pound the best of a generation in terms of consistency, how often he showed up, how often he delivered, and there was nobody like him. Nobody like him. Like, he reinvented the game. He not only killed the game, he reinvented it. There was nobody like him. And then he just disappeared when we went off the air in Los Angeles. So I don't know. He's always welcome. Anytime. The door is always open. My man, there are no locks on the door for Terrence. We'll see. Haunted Horse writes, Jimmy, as a listener that goes back to the 90s, Terrence is and always will be my favorite caller. Terrence is the GOAT. Come back, Terrence. Shaquille Romneal. Wore the residence of the fee in Escondido, getting alcohol poisoning Friday and being treated by male nurses. V and the fee. Yeah, Eric, I don't know, dude. In fact, Eric, I do know, dude. Totally out of line. Quote, some guy. He's number 87 on the Buccaneers. I don't know. He retired. I don't even know who that is. Whatever. Yosoy College Coeds signed Pervin Liar. Amber in Portland sent that.
Heartbreaking.
Hump day.
Happy hump day, Perv. Sorry, I got caught up in Smack Off Week. She hashtagged it War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones.
Amber's tough. All right, so when we come back, Melvin Gordon is scheduled to join us. The beef segment after that, Baron Davis at the top of the hour. I know that we've got a log jam in the middle of the show, but do not lose track of the fact that it's Wednesday before Smack Off Friday. We're talking Smack Off, and I do have to get that segment in. It is Golden Ticket D-Day. So I've got a question for you. Why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky so amazing? Why don't we start with the fact that it is a family-run business. A family business which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. We can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use just the best ingredients from their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top-quality spices to their real wood-fired smoke. Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite, and Old Trapper comes in four mouth-watering flavors. They're all good. Every single one of them, I rotate through. I eat all four. If you're not sure which one you want, grab and go with a four-ounce bag or get several four-ounce bags. Or if you know exactly what you want, get the 18-ounce monster. That way you've got enough for the entire team. If you don't see it, ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Smack Off is Friday, and it's brought to you by Famous-Smoke.com. Famous-Smoke.com, American-owned, family-owned, delivering your favorite premium cigars at the lowest prices for over 80 years. Famous Smoke Shop, they are our title sponsor on Friday. They're putting up the $5,000. Winner take all, $5,000. As promised, we are joined right now by running back for the Denver Broncos, two-time Pro Bowler, back-to-back seasons of more than 1,100 yards from scrimmage and 10 TDs. He was an All-American and an All-Big Ten player, a Doak Walker Award winner, and a Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year. He was the 15th pick overall in 2015 out of Wisconsin. On Wisconsin. And he's hosting an 8-man flag football tournament at the University of Wisconsin on July 16th on Wisconsin. I love it. Melvin Gordon is my guest. Melvin, you and I go way back, but it's been a minute or two since we last talked. How you doing? How's life right now?
It's good, man. It's a little tough, though, man. It's, you know, the training has started. So, you know, it's long days, man.
Yeah, I hear that. So the training has started. Let me ask you about that since you brought that up. I had Austin Eckler on the show earlier this week, and we were talking about the fact that he did not go to OTAs because he feels like it's more effective and more efficient to train on his own because he's got other projects that he's working on. You were not at OTAs in Denver either. What was your thinking behind that?
I just always kind of, you know, when guys get older, they build their own plan and, you know, just kind of had their own schedule, and, you know, you like to stick to it. I mean, it's nothing against anybody, but, you know, you kind of got your formula and what works for you, and, you know, that's what guys like to do, you know.
Melvin Gordon joining me. Yeah, I get that, and I would imagine over the years your formula probably has changed as you've gotten into it and you've learned. As an example, you were talking to Will Compton and Taylor Lewan on their podcast, and you were talking about the difference between squatting back in college and in the NFL. Like in college, it was all about maxing out and putting everything you possibly could on the bar. So what's your approach in that regard now?
Yeah, you know, in college, man, it's, you know, you like to brag. So you putting on, you know, close to almost 600 pounds on the squat. I'm not doing that no more, man. You know, it's just, you know, the season is too long. You can't train that way. Now I focus more on, you know, just my craft and my speed, you know. The power is going to be there. I stay at probably 405. If I'm a squat heavy, I probably go there. I won't go over. Just like for the knees and stuff, man, it's just, I don't think it's good. So it's just right now I just try to focus on my speed and just keeping my craft good with my, you know, as a back, just keeping my feet good.
I like that. Melvin Gordon joining us. I've actually been in that weight room, so I can imagine if you're a young guy and you're feeling that, man, dude, there is that peer pressure and that pride. I can see that. Now, you've had nearly 2,300 yards from scrimmage and 20 touchdowns since arriving in Denver. You could have gone elsewhere in free agency, but you decided to re-up with the Broncos. Why was that important to you?
Man, Russell was a big part of that. It was crazy, man. We had a lot of conversations, and you know, I was doing my best to try to get him here. You know, a lot of people, you know, I seen a really trash article about me and saying Russell needs to bring him aboard. And what people don't know, I was even knowing that it was a possibility I wouldn't be with Denver. I was still saying everything, talking up every player offensively and defensively to get Russell to Denver, you know. I mean, we had plenty of conversations. We had talked about it. And me and him being able to play on the same team is something that we've wanted to do for a long time, man. And, you know, I kind of, you know, it kind of sucked that that came out, but it's whatever. Because they don't know the backstory and, you know, the conversations that me and Russell had leading up to him being on the team. Now, did I make a difference? No. Probably not. Maybe not. But, you know, down from the offensive lineman, down from every position I named, okay, this guy, this is what he does well. He's young, but he's going to be good. I talked about Quinn. I talked about how I think he's going to be one of the best guards in the league one day and be one of the highest paid guards. Like, we had plenty of conversations that people didn't know about and still don't need to know about verbatim, word for word. But like I said, not knowing that I would even be here, man, you know, I talked up Denver to the max, you know, because it's an opportunity I know he wanted. And I know that this team got the chance to – we got the players to really make it, man. And a big part of me staying is because of him and the relationship with the guys, man. Like I said, I hate change. I really don't like change. I got a great relationship with the guys here. And then the head coach bring like a different feel, man. It's so different now, man. I'm telling you, you want to go to work, you know. It's lovely, man.
Talking to Melvin Gordon, that's a really interesting answer, Melvin. You talked about there being a trash article. I guess you're talking about that Denver Post article that got tweeted out. I want to read the quote so the listeners understand what we're talking about here. They tweeted out an article about you last week with the caption, quote, "Depending on whom you ask, Melvin Gordon is either an underrated, strong, confident, misunderstood, fantasy league workhorse, or a selfish, me first, fumble prone headache." End of quote. Let me ask you, man, I'll get your reaction to that, but when you put up the numbers you've put up, and you're the kind of teammate you've been, do you hear something like that, and does it roll off your back? Sounds like maybe not. Or does that kind of piss you off, and is it unfair?
That pissed me off. I could care less about the fumbles or all that other, you know, jazz that they was talking about. It's what kind of irritated me was the bad teammate part. Like, I've never had a teammate ever since high school, since Little League, ever tell me that I was a bad teammate. Like me and a few other players that I know, we pride ourselves on being, you know, good teammates and being good role models in the locker room. Now, when I get in the media, I don't sugarcoat anything. I keep it real. I feel like people like to disguise what they really say, what they really want to say, and what they feel about certain situations. And sometimes I don't. I don't. You know, it is what it is. You know, and Kareem Jackson, he says what he feels. I mean, it is what it is. What's the point of holding back? I mean, but for them to say a bad teammate is just like I really pride myself. That's something I really pride myself on. In the locker room is just, you know what I'm saying, just bonding with the guys. I talk to different guys, I hang out with the defensive guys really more than I do offensive guys. I talk to the special teams guys. I have a relationship with everybody, with Sam, with Mike, I was locker mates with Shelby. Like, he was one of my favorite teammates. So for them to say that, I guarantee you can ask any teammate that I've ever been with, top to bottom, if I'm a bad teammate, and they'll look stupid, you know. So that kind of bothered me a lot, because that's the first time I've ever heard that. And like I said, I take pride in being a good teammate, man, because them boys is all we got.
Melvin Gordon, my guest. I was going to say, dude, I mean, I'm on the outside looking in. I'm not inside that locker room, but you and I have been talking for so many years, and you mentioned Kareem. I had Kareem on recently. I had Justin Simmons on recently. You're on today, and this is not a coincidence. I like having guys on that approach it just the way you said, by keeping it real. There's no need to sugarcoat it. It's not that you're coming for anybody, per se. You're just being real and upfront and honest, and I appreciate that. That's always good, I think, for the individual and for the show. Why is it so important for you to connect with all those guys? Is that just the way you are, or do you feel as a vet it is your job to connect with as many guys as possible in that locker room?
Yeah, it's just both, man. I've seen some great role models, and coming in when I was a Charger, man, I watched how you know, the older guys did things. I watched how Phil, you know, come play cards with us. He'll sit with the O-line, and Phil literally just went around the whole locker room. He never, you know, he just, it's just true fashion, true form of a leader. You know, I seen Gates pull free agents to the side and have conversations with them and talk them up. And I do the same thing, man. You gotta motivate guys, because, you know, it's at times in this league that, you know, you feel like, oh, I didn't go this round, I didn't go that round, that I'm not appreciated. You know, and when you got a Hall of Famers like that doing it, what makes me any different? You know what I'm saying? I shouldn't feel like I'm too good to not talk to a player when a player is down. Justin Simmons do the same thing. You know, I watch a lot of guys do that, and it's just like, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you need to do. You know, so I've been seeing it for a while, and I was just like, you know what? You know, when I'm an older guy and people are looking at me like that, I'm going to do the same thing as those guys, you know what I mean? So when I had seen that, man, I was just like, bro, that's a slap in the face, because, you know, I've watched those guys for so long do that and said I wanted to be just like them, you know what I mean? So they just don't know any better.
Melvin Gordon is joining us. Respect. They just don't know any better. Hey, listen, before, what a great conversation. I appreciate you. I just wanted to take that moment and say I appreciate you and I appreciate our relationship. As I mentioned off the top, you're hosting a flag football tourney at Camp Randall Stadium, one of my favorite places, July 16th.
Yes, sir.
Lay it out for me. What's it all about? How do people get more info?
Man, it's me and it's a lot of guys that's from my college, man. We just wanted to do something. Just for the community, man, have guys come out and compete, man. We love that. You know, you just go to melvingordon.org. It's my site, man, /event. And you just sign up there, man. I think it's just for guys, for $10,000, man, for guys, honestly, to just come out and compete. We got different gifts. And I think it's dope to, you know, that, you know, Madison was, you know, willing to let us go back. I'm trying to get Jonathan Taylor there. We're going to have a big group, a herd of running backs that went to Wisconsin. We're trying to get Monty there. I don't think James could make it. Dare should be there. So it'll be a group of us that, you know, just want to go out there and see guys have fun, man. And it's at Camp Randall. You know, I wish I could have played in the 7-on-7 tournament for $10,000 at Camp Randall. Like, what the heck? I'd have been out there balling. I'd have put some guys from up the street, my quarterback Gino from high school. We'd have been out there trying to make some plays, man. You know, so 10,000 is a lot to people. To some, it's probably not. But to people who don't have it, man, it's dope. And all you have to do is come out there, have a good time, and compete, man.
I love
so
that.
We're excited about it.
What's better than that? That is great. How about Ron Dane? Can you get Ron Dane back there?
We're going to try, man. Ron is always around, man. He got a little office in there, man. So, you know, maybe he'll pop down. Especially with all the backs, it's a good opportunity for all the backs to be there. Me, JT, like I said, Monty, all those guys. Unfortunately, James won't be able to make it, but if Ron can come down there, and you know I think Braylon. So man, if those guys can come, man, that and all of us get a group picture, I think that'll be
it's the best. Be lit. It is the best. It will be lit. It'll be dope. It'll be any word you want to describe. It fits there. I've been there. I'm part of that Badger family now. Badger Mafia on Wisconsin. I'm behind it. Melvin Gordon, 2-time Pro Bowler, running back with the Broncos, keeping it real and setting the record straight in a few things. My man, I appreciate you. Great to have you back, Melvin.
Always, man. Hey, thanks for having me, man. It's always an opportunity.
My man.
And I love to, you know, take care of you.
Always, my man. We've been doing this a long time. Melvin Gordon right there. Great talking to him. Appreciate that. All right. Really good conversation. And listen, he said you can say what you want about the fumbles and all that jazz, but you cannot question whether or not I'm a good teammate or whether or not guys want me in that locker room or whether or not I make guys around me better. That was like impassioned defense. I'm glad he had that opportunity. All right, when we come back, a beef segment. Maybe not as long as normal, but it's that kind of week. And again, I mentioned if it's Smack Off week and I'm interrupting Smack Off week with interviews, they're probably good interviews. And those two were Baron Davis, top of the hour. What's your beef next segment? Also in hour number three, it is Golden Ticket D-Day. Some are going to keep them. Some are going to lose them. All of that is still...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Once again, not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy, and peppered all do come in 4-ounce bags. You can sample different flavors to find the very best one for you. Ask Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? Let's get this beef segment going once a week. You can beef about anything you want, sports, non-sports, anything. Let's start with the email and the social media. At Scripps Nakamoto. Is going to set the tone. I have beef with the online shopping cart countdown clock. Stop pretending like you'll only sell me these items in a 3-minute window. You're already getting my money. Stop giving me anxiety while you do it. Get that clock out of my face and pay for my shipping. Okay, I like that. Jim Master, my beef is with the tools at work who ask me, do anything fun on your vacation? Yes, work losers. I didn't come to work. That's fun enough. You don't need the details of how we got nice in Prescott. Wore the Avs, hoisting the cup. Ron from Colorado, now in Prescott. That's nice. Bruno, the great 32, tweets, Romeo Speedwagon, my beef is with my wife's shower caddy. How does a damn shower caddy rust? My eyes are closed, giving my glorious lettuce a cleanse. And bam! I elbow that piece of crap, and I'm left with a gash on my elbow like MRSA and a foul mood. Ditch the damn caddy lady. That's good wife beef. At Patria1818 tweets, my beef, native-born Americans and Canadians who call soccer football. Such a lame, tired, D-baggy attempt at intellectual snobbery. War football being played on a gridiron, not a pitch. My beef is with people who respond to my text with a phone call. Hey, buddy, if I had time to listen to someone ramble on endlessly, I would have called my wife. When I text you, text me back and refuse the temptation to push the call button. Ron in Grand Rapids. That's far from the first time I've heard that, and it never gets old. It is kind of funny. Hey, Rome. My beef is with sports analysts using the word onus. The onus is on the offense to get it done. First of all, no one else in history besides sports analysts ever uses that word. It's never happened. And second, let's be honest, it sounds like anus. And nobody wants to talk or hear Joe Buck talk about anus.
That is a disgusting act.
Chad from Orlando. Alvy. My beef is Weber with two B's suffocating and choking the life out of your mic. Hands off, you caveman.
And it's over just that quickly.
Bruce in Riverside. Rome Ranger. My beef is with pinky nose pickers. Do they not know that picking your nose with your pinky doesn't make them sophisticated? It makes them equally disgusting as the index finger nose pickers. I choose the middle finger for pinky pickers because they think they're above all the other germ spreaders. Get a tissue and remove debris out of your nose like an adult, you idiots. Regards, Mike in Wichita. Mike, I never made the distinction, but now I know. Thank you very much. You are the leader in the clubhouse. Rome, my beef is with fun size candy bars. Yeah, real fun. A half a bite of candy. Regards, Rit, JP in Riverside. Mm. Rit, why are you not laughing? That's funny. Dude, is that candy you have? What do you got in your hand? He's got a caramello bar in his hand. Full size. Broham.
Game on.
Can you not get through an entire show without eating candy? You freaking nine? Is this Halloween? That's incredible. He's like a 98-year-old guy who can't get through a three-hour show without eating a candy bar. It's revolting, man. Hey, Roll, my beef is with the barista who palms the top of my drink barehanded when handing it to me. I'm sorry, sir. I ordered cream with my coffee, not your sweaty hand that you just picked your face with. I'm pretty sure if you paid attention for more than 5 seconds to your food handler's course, you'd probably know that that is not a good idea. Jeff from PDX, that's strong too. Not as strong as Pinky Nose Picker, but strong. My crew in the morning at Starbucks is awesome. They don't do stuff like that. I like those gals and that one dude, Jim Rome. I don't know that I've ever gotten a beef that has started with Jim Rome. I don't know that any email or tweet has ever started with Jim Rome, comma. Jim Rome, comma. I have a beef with people saying the word like every third word when they converse. Saying or is semi-acceptable, but saying it's like or like repeatedly every time these airheads open up their mouths is obnoxious. Cut the Valley Girl habit and grow up. Jason in Bend, Oregon. Hey, Jason, you know this already. Check them hard every time they do it. They can't stop. I do it with my kids. My other beef is, huh? Yeah? Constantly doing that with Logan. Logan, it's not, huh? It's, excuse me? Pardon me? I'm sorry? And it's not, yeah? It's a yes. Huh? That's okay. Huh? Is acceptable. Huh? Because it's emphatic. Romy, my beef is with the smack off being only 3 hours. CBS needs to clear the schedule for one day and make it a 4-hour or 5-hour event. It's like giving Hall & Oates only 2 hours to play all their hits. Thanks, Blake in Denver. My man Blake in Denver is old school. It's a 3-hour show, dude. Why stop there? Why don't we put the smack off on 7 p. to 12 midnight and make it a 5-hour show and do it every single day and just have me go back in time and make the amount of money I made then? And give me a scrub Saturday show. Sorry, Blake. Appreciate you. How about the scrub Saturday smack off marathon? Why don't we do a smack off every scrub Saturday? Man, I'd love to have that scrub Saturday show back. But only if it's 5 hours instead of four. That was an all-time legendary local brawl I had with a GM over the Scrub Saturday show. You want to talk about a dude outperforming his contract. Notice how I've never talked business like that on the show. You want to talk about a dude outperforming his contract? This guy. And this dude's just burying me on that Saturday. Oh no, you're going to do those last five shows. Yeah, I know it's in my contract. I know it's in my contract. I got a beef for you. That a-hole back in the day, you know who you are. That a-hole back in the day that would not let me out of the last couple of Scrub Saturdays when I had far outperformed my contract. The same a-hole that if I re-aired, then it started to get really contentious because he was an a-hole and I was young me. So then to kind of jam it up his backside, I would re-air interviews that I did earlier in the week. You know me. I don't do crap like that. I don't lay it up. I don't take shortcuts. I'm not lazy. We grind out every day. I was just doing it to shove it up his ass. And he got pissed at that, too. Scrub Saturday. Let's see here. At FM Picks tweets, my beef is with my new boss. She forgets a meeting where we are supposed to meet in person for the first time, so she feels badly and decides to invite me to lunch. Okay, good. Good until I see the calendar invite. No!
No!
It's scheduled for Friday.
No!
Damn it, SOB. Oh, wow. That is bad. That is bad. Let's get some phone calls in here for the beef segment. Ken in Linden, Washington. What's going on, Ken? What's your beef?
Romy, my beef is with all these guys that call in talking about their wives and their girlfriends. You know, it's embarrassing enough for her to have to have settled for you in the first place, and then you go talking behind her back. Let's do better, clones.
I hear you, Ken. I hear you. But isn't it kind of entertaining when they do? It's not classy, but it is pretty funny. Let's go this time to Kathleen in Omaha. Kathleen, what's your beef?
Elvis Presley music is massively overrated. There's no toughness. It's too wimpy. If Johannes Ekstrom remade all of Elvis's music, he would give it a toughness with a nice metal flair. He even made a nice remake of Nirvana's Something in the Way, which the original sucked.
Thank you, Kathleen. Now she's a music critic. Well, she always has been that. Man, she loves her some Johannes. She loves her some Johannes. Let's go to Seattle. This is a beef segment. We've got some phone calls. John in Seattle. John, what's your beef?
Hey, Jim. I have a beef with irresponsible dog owners that leave nicely bow-tied poop bags along the trails. Do these people believe in poop fairies? It makes me so mad, I think I'm turning into a mountain lion.
Do these people believe in poop fairies? At least they tie off their nice little bag and a nice little bow and don't let their dog growler up your front yard and keep moving. Check it out. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, to my left, there is a giant plastic tower of beef. And we just blew right through the beef segment. And believe me, there was a lot more where that came from. I did not finish. It's been that kind of day. Man, it has been a fire drill. 2 hours, just blowing right through it. Hey, if you want a behind-the-scenes look at the show, go to my Instagram story. There is a behind-the-scenes look at the show starring, well, yours truly, but more importantly, Ike. Ike gets the video treatment. Go to my Instagram account, check my story. Hour 3, straight ahead.